Remind everybody that you can raise your questions through the chat function, but we've got a couple of things that have come through during the course of the presentation. If I can just address one quickly, because I know some of the people on the call. Necessarily accepted just yet, and so that might mean that one or two people on the call don't yet have the joining pack, the transition pack that we've mentioned. So if you don't have that, then don't worry, it's something that follows after I've received your contracts and acceptance paperwork. And similarly, once we have that acceptance paperwork, that's when we'll let you know which house you are allocated to. So again, there may just be a few people on the call who are just half a step behind the majority of some of the others. So perhaps I can start off with a really practical question for yourself, Mrs. Etherington, which is about coming and going to school, maybe sort of two in one really here. So first of all, what's the earliest time that we can drop off children in the morning, obviously if we're coming by a car? And then secondly, whereabouts in school do the buses drop the children off, and then where do they collect from at the end of the day?
So the lower school, year 7 and 8, are based in the Swallow building, which is on campus, obviously. And there'll be a staff presence in that building from about 5 to 8 in the morning. There'll be a duty member of staff designated each morning to be patrolling around the building and our social spaces as well from about 8:10. Drop off from parents takes place in the May Hall car park. It's the second right as you enter the campus. The buses drop off and collect from the terrace, which is the area directly in front of the main building. They drop off there and they collect there at the end of the day, ready to leave about 25 to 6 in the evening.
Thank you, sir. And then perhaps one for Mr. Wood was around rewards and merits and how that sort of system operates as far as positive reinforcement and encouraging the kind of things that we'd like to see our new children enjoying and getting on with at school.
Yeah, so every single teacher has an electronic way of delivering merits, and that they go directly through to the tutors. So if your child receives a merit, the tutor will be informed of that directly, and then will reinforce that positive message during tutor times each day. We also have something called the pupil book, which the students work through over the course of the year, and this encourages really positive elements of behavior and engagement with school. So we have positive purpose, we have positive relations that we talk about on a consistent basis. We talk about positive accomplishment within the classroom and on the co-curricular side of things. We also talk about positive engagement, positive emotions, and we develop an understanding of positive health decisions that the students make as well. So these are fundamental elements that we talk about on a weekly basis. And that is backed up in assemblies and also in the curriculum itself. So these things are there. At the end of each term or half term, we have a merits assembly and a rewards and an awards assembly where we note all of the excellence that's happened over the term. We have 25 merit certificates, which is a big deal in year 7. And then obviously every time that goes up in an increment of 25, they get a different certificate. And we hope that by the end of year 7, most of the students will have between 75 and 100 merits, which is a really good total to have. On the counter side of that, we have a similar format with regards to what we call referrals. So if students are missing prep or they're not wearing their uniform correctly, they might receive a referral, which again will be followed up by the tutor in the first instance. Obviously things escalate with regards to that sort of sanction if there are repeats of those kind of things. But it's all with regards to supporting the students and making sure that they are on the right track. And as I said before, it's the tutor who will really be monitoring those things on a weekly basis. So I hope that answers that one.
Super, thank you, Steve. There was a question about Lambda forms, with saying, have we already received those forms? And the answer to that, just circling back to my earlier one, was that they were in that transition pack that we've sent out. Some people may not have those yet. If you do want one and we haven't yet sent you the joining pack, please just let me know, drop us an email, and we'll get that out to you sooner rather than later, because I know for sure that Mrs. Berryman would rather have those forms before the end of term, if she possibly can. That also does bring me to another question that was raised around, if we're not sure about making a decision around music lessons or Lambda lessons right now, can those be added on in September? And I think the answer to that is absolutely yes. So, you know, we will certainly, you know, those departments would be delighted to add on additional lessons as we go through the year. In music, it's sometimes just a little bit more tricky, depending on availability of individual instrumental teachers, but the department will always work really hard to be able to add instrumental lessons on for students who maybe haven't quite signed up on day one, maybe just want to settle in and see how things go a little bit before making that final decision. Callum, can I just come to you on a question? And this is just a terminology, and this is a really good question, actually, that indicates how when you work somewhere, you get used to the interchangeable language. And the question is Cavendish a house or the form? And I think that's probably illustrative of quite, yes, a lot of confusion around terminology that we no doubt stumble into.
Good. So across Trent, we have five houses, have you seen there, and the students belong to that house as they, for their time at Trent. In the lower school, each house is also a form. So their form will be made up of two students from the same house, and their tutor is a member of that house for activities. For example, we've got track and field tomorrow. Students are competing in their form, but also for their part of their house, which is a whole school thing as well. Hopefully that clears it up for you there, Mrs. Pearson-Neill.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Etterington. There's a question around the closure of our local school, Otbrook School, which I'm sure many of you will be aware of. They're only 5 miles up the road from us, and Otbrook School have really sadly announced their decision to close with the effect from the end of this academic year. And the question is around, what impact would that have on our class sizes? I can tell you that I've been very much at the front line of a lot of inquiries, a lot of very nervous and worried families looking to try and find schools for their children. And our responses as Trent has been to be incredibly empathetic to people finding themselves in that unprecedented situation. The answer around class sizes is that we absolutely will maintain the class sizes that we have currently. It is likely that some of our year groups will expand a little bit, but we will be doing that by adding on additional classes to cope with the intake that we have. So we might find that some of our year groups grow a little bit bigger than what we had forecast for September, but we will make sure that there are additional classes to accommodate those. So we will still not be going above the kind of class sizes that we've talked to you about over the last year or so, which typically in year seven would range anything from sort of 18 to 22, just depending on the split of who chooses which language and how many children are in a certain drama class or something of that nature. So the impact on Trent is going to be sort of significant as far as the number of children who will be maybe coming to join us. But as far as individual children are concerned, as far as their experience here at Trent, is that they will have the same experience that we always expected, which is a class size that is physically contained. Mostly because that's what we want to do as a school, but practically because that's the size of our physical classrooms, and we don't have classrooms that can contain 30 children in one lesson. It's just, we just don't have that kind of space at Trent. So hopefully that addresses the question specifically about Otbrook. Mr. Wood, can I turn to you on a sort of more departmental question? So could you talk to us a bit about sports fixtures and Wednesdays, and potentially whether there's any sport on a Saturday, and how those kind of things work for September for year seven, please?
Yes, well, Wednesday afternoon is our games afternoon for year seven and eight during their time in lower school. We try to develop the skills of the children in the first few weeks of term, and it's rare to have any fixtures, particularly for year seven, in that time. That's where a lot of the coaching goes in. But after those first few weeks, There will begin to be fixtures for the Year 7 group. Some of them are on Saturday mornings. The majority are on Wednesday afternoons. With the pandemic and things like that, we've run something called a Super Saturday as well, which was really well received. And almost all the children in Year 7 last year accessed that and came to hockey or rugby sessions or netball sessions for the girls in the second term. And that worked so well. It was excellent. And I know that Mr. Marnie, as Director of Sport, is entertaining some of those things. They are not compulsory, but, you know, as we've said all evening, we encourage the students to get involved as much as they possibly can to develop their skill levels. So that we hope to have a little bit more happening on Saturdays, but normally the lower school fixtures take place in the mornings. So Saturday afternoons are still free. Unless we go to an away fixture, we might be back at 1 o'clock, something like that. But most of the junior schools that we play against, the lower school teams will play in the mornings on Saturdays. And you know, we would expect all students in Year 7 to represent the school at some stage during the year in all of the performance sports, which is lovely. And that might be in the performance teams, and some of the students in performance teams in Year 7 who are really confident might then be selected for an under 13 team in national championships, for example. And that can happen in tennis, that can happen in hockey. It doesn't tend to happen as much in rugby for obvious reasons, but certainly in terms of netball and the other sports, that can happen when we enter national championships under 13. So there's that performance side of things, but the participation and progression are at the forefront of what we do as well, as I said earlier.
I just ask a quick follow-up to that one as well, Steve, on behalf of a couple of people. Can you talk to us a bit about swimming on the Year 7 PE curriculum, and is there football played at Trent, please?
Okay, so swimming is on the PE curriculum, and all the students will have 6 weeks of swimming in the swimming pool on campus. And there are occasionally, I'm not sure what the plan will be for next year, an after-school activity as well. Certainly that might be in relation to life-saving or something like that, which might be run from time to time. And in terms of football, there is normally a football club run. I know Mrs. Matthews runs one. Mr. Bradwell is part of the lower school team. He's a really keen footballer. And there is informal football most break times as well. So we don't play fixtures. We start the football fixtures begin in Year 11 when students have the choice, a little bit more choice with regards to competitive sports. But, you know, if students love to play football, there's boys and girls football opportunities. We look to accommodate as many sports as possible. So that's just one of those that's available.
Lovely. Thank you, Mr. Wood. Could I come to a question for Ms. Matthews, who I think is still on the call with us as our deputy head co-curricular? There's a couple of questions around the co-curricular programme. First of all, where do we find the information, which I think was touched upon, but perhaps we could just go back to that. And then how many clubs or after school activities might a child be expected to participate in? So I think...
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Thank you
very much. Good evening, everyone. Lovely to be in front of you this evening. I'm so sorry we can't see you face to face, but it's great to have your attendance on an evening like this. And thank you for your time this evening. So just to backtrack to that football question. Yes, I've come tonight from the girls' football club. We were practicing striking the ball with the outside of the foot, as displayed in the European Championships. And that's been the skill that we've been doing today. Some of the girls are really good. I had some Year 7s and Year 8s. That's been fantastic. My own school nickname was Stan, by the way, for those of you who are proper football fans. So we try to encourage both girls and boys to have all the same opportunities. And that's been great fun, actually, this year. So in terms of the information, basically, all of the co-curricular information will come your way in September. I know for some of you who have been at the Elms or at other primary schools, you might have had this in advance of the summer holidays, but it's the way that we run it. Everything starts in September And all of the information will come out to you and to pupils and to tutors so that you can start to have a look at the kind of things that your sons and daughters might commit themselves to. We use an online computer system called SOCS. And again, I will be sending out the information to you about how to log on. And it's really good, actually. You can log on from any device and you can see all of the opportunities that your son or your daughter could sign up for. You can sign up for them there and then, and you can have a look and track the kind of things that are there for them. Tutors can also do the same. Mr. Setterington can do the same. Mr. Wood can do the same, and I can do the same. So we can all access this information. And it helps us to support your sons and daughters. It's a really good question about how many they should sign up for, because pupils are different, aren't they? And they have different interests and they have different commitments. So for some pupils, they will be happy doing prep or coming home and just taking on one extra club, one extra activity. But if your son or your daughter is a particularly keen musician, they might sing in all three choirs. If they're a particularly keen trombone player, then they might play in two or three of the ensembles. If they are particularly keen on some of the more academic clubs, they might want to do debating and coding and have a little go at Mandarin as well. But the tutor is the hub of that decision. So you yourselves, obviously, as parents, but a tutor will be able to look at what your sons and your daughters are doing and saying, well, you know, really, can you manage that with your time? Are you going to keep up with your prep? And similarly, have you taken enough on? And I know Mr. Setterington has worked really hard with your year eights this year, haven't you, sir, to make sure that pupils are committing themselves and taking opportunities as they are available. And so we work really hard to maintain that balance. We don't always get it right. Pupils don't always get it right either. But it's something that we take really seriously and is a key part of our sort of pastoral role as well. Is that a full enough answer, Mrs. Pearce-McNeill? Is that okay?
That was absolutely wonderful. Thanks ever so much, Lisa. That's brilliant. I think everybody can see and hear the passion that you have for the co-curricular programme. Probably, I hope I'm not landing you in it, but it's probably also just worth mentioning that we showed an example of lots of the ideas of some of the clubs that we put on a termly basis. But if the children come with things that they'd like to be, you know, to be part of that programme, they can put their hand up and ask for that to sort of happen.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to listen to the pupil voice as much as we can. I mean, they do come up with some quite interesting ideas, and interesting obviously being a euphemism for, you know, we're not always workable. But we try to listen to pupils, and I try to ask pupils to talk to Mr. Sedgen, the tutor, to Mr. Wood and to me. And if we've got a keen group of pupils who want to do something, we would do our best to put it on for them. Absolutely right. Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks ever so much. Lovely. Just a very quick one. We've had a question in about whether you can have a copy of the presentation. And the answer is yes. The copy of these slides will be on those transition web pages that we have in place for you. And hopefully the Zoom recording is working so that we can share the video of the Q&A session that we're running now as well. If I could come on to a question for Mrs. Berryman on Lambda, and just fairly generally, how would participation in Lambda actually be of benefit? So, you know, I'm choosing to sign up for the lessons. What are going to be the benefits of doing that? Sorry, Emily, we'll just work to get you on off mute 1 second.
There we go. Lovely. Thank you. Obviously, there's loads of benefits to doing Lambda. First and foremost, it's about confidence and communication skills. But we find that, you know, maybe as the students get older, then it might help with public speaking. So they might be needing to do a speech for English GCSE. And, you know, it's something that we can work on and can work with Lambda and their English. So it can kind of help their studies. Likewise, if they're doing a reading recital where they've had to choose poetry and prose, they might use some of their English poetry anthology or, you know, a text that they've been studying, and they just get a better understanding of the material by working on it in a very practical way. But I think I think the fact that the lessons are on a one-to-one basis, it really is first and foremost about confidence. And it's really, you know, students who come to us who maybe are less confident, just by having that time where they can kind of talk to that teacher that they can trust and that they can learn to start expressing themselves, then spills out into the classroom and with their peers, so that when they have to stand up and talk about something in class, they just feel that little bit more able to do that. And, you know, that's what we really want to arm them with, so that they just feel confident across the board.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for that experiment. Thinking for a moment about the reason why we're here. Sorry, I think I might have a small lag on my machine. Obviously, we're online tonight because we've had to cancel our on-site transition day for the reasons we've talked about. So the question has come in around how will the first day, the induction day, support children who are feeling nervous or shy because they've missed this opportunity at the start of the or at the end of the term at this stage. Perhaps can I ask Steve or Callum, do you want to jump in on that one?
Yes, of course, Helen. I think we are very mindful of the fact that the children haven't had or won't have had this day on site that they would normally have. We're well aware they've had 2 years of disrupted education. When they arrive on that Wednesday in September, there will be lots of smiley faces on the faces of staff and prefects. It will be very much gentle conversations, going through information that is key, repeating information, and trying to make sure that it's as practical as possible. There'll be a little bit of time in a classroom setting to model and show what we expect in the classroom. But as I mentioned earlier on in the presentation, we're going to try and make it as active, as engaging as possible, rather than just giving them a timetable. There'll be an activity where they walk around the campus, having to find where a lesson will be with their tutor. They'll be required to go and find out something about another person in their class. And as soon as we can on that day, we will get the children into their form groups. So as soon as possible, they'll be into the smaller groups that they will spend the majority of their time in. I think the key things are it'll be gentle, it'll be friendly, it'll be warm, and it'll be practical. It'll be practical. It'll be them doing things with that holding hand along the first way. We are well aware there will be some nerves and the experience of the last couple of years. But we're working really, really hard with the primary schools that your children go to get as much information about them as we can as well.
There we go. Thank you, Callum. And just again, there's been a sort of a bit of a supplementary about the fact that obviously there are some state schools who are have found a way to be able to offer some transition activities. I think we're in a slightly different situation here at Trent. That's the reasons why we have not been able to facilitate a transition at the end of this term, partly that there is no prospect of the regulations changing before the end of our term, which is next Friday, so we finish very, very soon. Partly we have a number of international students on our campus who are desperate to get home, in some cases for the first time in 6 or 9 months, and so the risk of any of them not getting a clear your test and not being able to transfer home is a significant risk to our community. And so we have had to make that decision not to offer any transition event in the next couple of weeks. But as Callum alluded to, we've spent a lot of time getting to know the children over a long period of time. We're not reliant on a transition day to find out a little bit more about everybody. And indeed, the team here have been down to the Elms many, many times over the last few months. And we ourselves have been out to visit many of the children in their individual primary schools over the last couple of months. And of course, we will have that induction day in September, which is an added benefit that I think is quite a special and an important opportunity. So we do recognise that we've had to make some decisions that might be different to what other schools have been able to offer, but I do assure you that that's been taken for all very, very good reasons. If I can come back to you, Mrs. Ettington, on another couple of questions, things that are maybe just slightly related to one another. First of all, what are the tutor times? So when do the children see their tutor? But also connected to that, do the children spend the majority of their time with that group, with their tutor group, or is it with their teaching group?
Thank you. I think one thing that I haven't said as well, that I think will be reassuring to parents, is at some point next week from admissions, you will receive a profile of Mr. Wood, myself, Mrs. Blackwell, and your child's tutor with little interesting facts, kind of favourite colour, favourite sport, favourite place they visited, just to give the children a little bit more information and put a name to a face about the adults that they'll be working with most in those, in their year seven experience. So that will be coming out next week as well, and that's designed to be a friendly introduction to the teachers that they'll be spending quite a lot of time with. Those of you that have got children already at Trent will be aware that we changed our school day a little bit this year to have tutor time in the middle of the day, primarily to allow us to work around COVID regulations. At the moment, the school is intending to return to a tutor period first thing in the morning from 8:40 till 9:10. That will be every day, Monday to Friday. And we're very keen for that in the lower school because it provides the opportunity for the children to have that time with their tutor to settle down, to check that they're organised for the day, to answer any questions. In that time as well, throughout the week, there could be the lower school assembly or the lower school faith provision through chapel. So that's what happens there between 8:40 and 10 past nine. Trying to clear with my use of language and terminology here. So the children are in their form groups according to their house allocation. They will spend every morning's form period in that group. They will also have PSHE once a week in that group. The second group that the children are assigned to is a teaching group, and that will be a lettered group. It's completely mixed ability, mixed interest. It'll be 7A, B, C, D, etc. And that is based on their language option. And the majority of subjects are in those teaching groups. So the majority of the academic day is in the teaching group. The form period, the form group is for registration in the morning, PSHE and house-based competition. So they will be assigned to a house, for example, 7 Cavendish, but they could also be in 7B. And as I say, that is mixed ability, mixed interest. It is purely based on the MFL option that your son or daughter has chosen. Thank you, Mrs. Pearson-Mill.
Fabulous. Thank you, sir. A question that's perhaps just following on from that around teaching groups and tutor groups and such like is, when will the children have the first sight of their timetable? The all important, what lessons am I going to and when?
So that will be available for the start of term as part of the induction day. We will give your children their timetable as a printed copy. We will give them their planner, their pupil book, and it will be available electronically on the parent portal to you from that point as well. And time will be spent that day understanding the timetable, understanding what codes of buildings mean. And as I mentioned, they'll be part of that activity. So you've got history in MB4. Well, what does that mean? It means it's the Maltby building, and we'll go and find it with our new friends and experience the cut-throughs throughout the campus as well. But that'll be available on the induction day in September.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Etterington. There's a couple of questions again about activities, but not necessarily to do with our co-curricular programme. So one is around the fact that how many clubs and things are included in fees and the like. So I can just quickly address that, which is to say that all of your after-school activities, lunchtime programme, co-curricular programme is pretty much included in fees. There's no limit on having how many you can sign up for. You know, it's not like at our junior school, the Elms, where two per week are included in your school fees. If you want to sign up for something every night, pretty much then it's available. And the same is true with evening prep after school. Again, essentially your fees include being on site until 5:40 every day, whether that's in an activity or in supervised prep. There are a few small exceptions to that where there are some charges associated with things like combined cadet force, Duke of Edinburgh scheme in year 10. But signing up to the kind of things that we've been talking about tonight, there's no cost involved with those things. And then the other question comes around activities and clubs during the holidays, and to say that we as Trent don't run holiday clubs during the summer break, but we do have a number of organisations who use our premises to run their own activities. So companies such as HA4K, Holiday Activities for Kids, Dynamic Cricket, which is run by Mr. Boswell, our head of cricket here, the Leicester Tigers often use our facilities to host a number of camps, and a variety of other bits and pieces. So I have to say, as far as I'm aware, we don't as a school have a sort of a central list or repository of that. It kind of just depends on who decides to book our facilities for the summer. I suspect there's probably something from Beeston Hockey maybe going on. Mr. Wood would probably know a little bit about that as well. But if there are activities and clubs that you join in with at the moment, you could certainly find out if they are hosting anything that happens to be hosted here at school on our premises. If I could just perhaps get Mr. Wood to pop in again about that sort of after school activity and how things work. How do the children tell their tutor what they're doing? Do they have to tell somebody where they're going to be? And also, will they get any snack or food, or do they need to bring their own food for maybe during break times and after school at the end of the day? So keeping the hunger at bay, clearly super important. So what's the best thing to do around snacks during the day and after school? And what are the practicalities in terms of am I staying on at the end of the school day?
Yeah, traditionally we've had a tuck shop at break time and also tea after school. But with the COVID restrictions, we've had to minimise that access. So certainly bringing us a small snack if your child's going to be staying a little bit later in the day would be a good idea in their bag until we know what the restrictions and what our provision will be, I think, in September is a good idea. We'll certainly be addressing that as we get towards the start of term with regards to that sort of thing. Traditionally, tea was a moment where the whole school would come together in the dining hall, and it's just unfeasible to get that amount of students through crossing bubbles and things with the restrictions that have been in place. So unfortunately, that's not part of what we do at the moment. With regards to knowing where the students are, the tutors will take a register every day, and they will ask the students what their intentions are after school on a daily basis. And that is then given to the school secretary, who will then check that with the SOX register that Mrs. Matthews spoke about earlier, just to make sure that we know exactly where every student is at the end of the school day. And that might be that they'll say, I'm going to be collected at 4 o'clock, and those students are released at that time. Some will say, I'm staying in prep, and some will say where they're going with regards to the after school activity. And that happens on a daily basis, so that the SOX register is there as a permanent registration. But however, we understand that certain circumstances change on a daily basis. Parents might say, let your tutor know that you're going to be collected at 4 o'clock today. They will relay that through, and that will be the case. I think early in September, it would be great if parents could let their tutors know if there's going to be a change to that. So if we expect your child to be staying for prep and there's a change in circumstances, please do drop the tutor a note to make sure that is absolutely what's going to happen. That's really important. And it might be that for the first few weeks, Mrs. Moulds will give you a call just to check that is actually the case, because we need to know exactly where students are.
Okay. That probably leads really neatly actually into another question, because obviously at the end of the school, that's when we often find a lot of their kids want to have their mobile phone available to ring mum and say, oh, I'm staying on for this, or I've decided to go home with a friend, or I need picking up because my club's been cancelled. So maybe you could just tell us a little bit more about the mobile phone policy in the lower school, please.
So mobile phones are allowed. We understand how important they are. However, they are handed in at the start of every day. And if students want access to them for any reason, they will have to go through are normally ahead of year. So Mr. Setterington or Mrs. Moulds will need to be, they will need to gain permission to have access back to their mobile phone. And if there is a genuine issue, then Mr. Setterington may make a phone call on their behalf. Mrs. Moulds may do that so that they don't need to be talking directly to parents. We do try to keep the communication quite formal throughout the day, and it just helps with regards to making sure that they're not seeing messages and being distracted during the school day. So we don't really like that to happen. And they can collect those phones at the end of the school day at 4 o'clock if they go off to do their activities off site or wherever it might be. They definitely need them there, but during the school day they won't have access to their phones. Is that fine, Mr. Setterton? Is that
absolutely in the centre of the Swallow building where the lower school are? I work in a fantastic glass walled office with my counterpart for the other lower school year and the two assistant heads of year, and Mr. Wood has an office directly below. So there are two office phones that students can have access to as well. And I think it's a really important thing. Phones are great tools, but as we work together with you as parents, guardians, families, we want to develop the independence of students as well. So if they are in genuine need, they will have access to an office telephone through a member of staff as well.
Thank you, sirs. Really quick one, just we started, I think, with buses and transport. And the question is, do most year seven children get the bus? I will probably defer to yourself, Callum, in terms of what the general proportions are of your year group who would travel to school on the bus each day.
I think it's a real mixture. I think it is a real mixture. It depends day to day. It depends on what their activities are. I understand with the bus network that runs, there's some flexibility. You're not buying a ticket for the whole term, and I think that's really popular. It depends. I think the first week or two, a lot of year sevens will travel with family members, but as soon as they find out what's on offer, what their new friends are doing, and as they grow in confidence, the bus may become an attractive option for the student and families as well to get home at the end of the day. I think it varies day to day and year group to year group as well.
Thank you, sir. That's fantastic. Could I stick with you as well, please, Mr. Setterington? A question around maths and English.
Yes.
Are those classes mixed ability or are they set or mixed up on in any particular way?
Really good question. English is mixed ability in the lower school in year seven and eight. Mathematics, the first half term will be in the students' teaching group. At which point in October, halfway through the Michaelmas term, there will be a form of assessment which is used by the maths department to set students. The maths department are not a fixed mindset in the sense that if you get into set one the first time round, that does not mean that you're going to be there all the way through. Likewise, if you get into set three, there are regular assessments throughout the academic year, and if appropriate to move a student up or down a set, that will happen with a conversation with the student and the family. So English is mixed ability in the teaching group. Mathematics will be in teaching groups for the first half term, at which point an assessment is completed and the maths department will set students from there moving forward.
Well, thank you. Very quick one about after school. Is prep available every day? Supervised prep, I should say.
Yes.
Actually, maybe I should also say, maybe a good question would also be, do we give prep every day as well?
Yes. Okay, I'll try and answer two questions there. Mr. Wood, feel free to jump in if I'm talking too much. Prep is available every day, Monday to Friday, for the lower school. We like them to have a little bit of a break and a run around and be 11 and 12 year olds for 15, 20 minutes, get a bit of a drink, get a bit of a snack, something healthy, hopefully, not Haribo Star Mix at 4:05 by the kilo. Prep then runs from about 4:20 to 5:25. There will be a member of staff supervising that session. Again, as appropriate with the age and stage of the children in the lower school, we do try and give them a 10-minute break halfway through. So the session's broken really into two 25-minute work periods. But there will be a member of academic staff on duty every day, a member of the lower school leadership team, ahead of year, assistant head of year, Mr. Wood, will pop in as well and have a conversation. That's a great time to have some really positive conversations and comments about what we've seen coming in through the day. Prep, it's a question that a lot of students ask. It's probably the most common one I get when I go out and meet year six students. Prep is our word for homework. In year seven, the students will be provided with a timetable at the start of term. We expect that they will be set two pieces per day. And we expect those to take about 25 minutes. They will not be due for the next day. And there is a timetable for teachers to follow. And I always try and encourage the students, if a teacher makes a mistake, to be understanding and to have that conversation with the tutor the next day or me to correct that. But there is a timetable. Ideally, prep won't be due for the next day. And it should be no more than 25 minutes per piece.
Wonderful, sir. Well, I think we are pretty much there as far as the Q&A that we've had come through. And certainly, I think we've touched on most of the things that Jackie and I would have expected to hear about. So I wonder if I could maybe just ask Mr. Wood to maybe make a few closing remarks for us, if that would be OK.
Yes, well, thank you so much, Mrs. Pearce-McNeill, for organising this tonight. I do hope it's been useful for the parents out there, and thank you for your contribution. It really does give us an insight into what we need to do in terms of setting that network in place and understanding what some of the concerns are, and therefore we can tailor things with regards to that. As Mr. Penty said at the start of the evening, I'm new in role in September. I know I've got a great team around me, and I know that they will do their very best to make sure that the students, your children, experience the best possible education and that first step into secondary school life. And it's going to be wonderful to develop a team with those members of staff, with your children, the pupils, and also with you. And I look forward to those first steps on that journey as we move forwards in September. So thank you for your time this evening. I hope it's been beneficial, and I wish you all a wonderful evening. Thank you very much indeed.